How many of you believe that tonight? That when he died just for you and just for me. And thank God that he paid the price that we could not afford to pay. We didn't have the means to live our whole life and not be able to pay the debt for the sins of our life. In the book of Acts, in the 17th chapter, very familiar passage of Scripture tonight that's upon our hearts. We want you to, if you have your Bibles, to open up there. And this will go this evening with the testimonies and prayer requests that we have heard tonight in the house of the Lord, that our people need to realize that there's a day coming that we're all going to have to stand and give an account for that which we have done, for the choices we made. As Sister Sharon made mention tonight, many of our people that are growing up and don't realize that the choices they make are wrong. And I used to be a little difficult on the children for the choices they made. But it's not the kids' fault. It's the parents' fault for not teaching them the right way. Because if we have an obligation from God to teach our children, to bring them up in the fear and admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and teach them what is right and wrong. And without God, there is no values. There's no morals. But with God, we can have a conscience that will lead us to know what is right or wrong. You don't need the pastor or the deacons with you all the time to let you know what's right or wrong. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can just have a thought and repent because you know that it wasn't right. In the book of Acts in the 17th chapter, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's word, go with us if you would toward the middle of this chapter. In the 22nd verse, it says that, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeth he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." And stop reading there with that verse. And let me read verse 28, because that's a beautiful verse. He says, "Because for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." And we'll stop there with that 28th verse. Tonight I'd like to use for a text taken from the 23rd verse, the unknown God that is known. The unknown God that is known. Paul was in a precarious situation here. He was standing before a great tribune of men, judges, elders of the city, if you'll have it, at Athens. And these men, they was in a place where they had heard. If you go earlier in this chapter, you'll read that they had heard about Paul speaking about a doctrine which they knew not of, speaking and preaching about a man that they knew not of. And to give you a backdrop of the history, anyone that was found in Athens and was teaching or preaching anything other than what was there on Mars Hill was guilty. When they was found, they would be found guilty and be put to death, because they was preaching something that the scholars didn't know about. And it would put them in a bad situation for the people to hear from someone who was not one of the judges over all of Athens. These were the men that, if you'll have it, it was the religious epic center of the world. And these are the ones who set up all these different gods, idols that they made, and they set them up there for them to be worshipped. They did not want to make any god mad at them. And it was there on Mars Hill that they had all these statues of all these different gods. And I'm not going to get into all of it, but if you go back and you look at it, they had in the court that was there, they had Neptune and all the other that some of these that I can't even pronounce, that all these different gods, and some of them that are the zodiac, and they worshiped these men. They worshiped these gods as though they was amongst them. But yet they worshiped gods, as the Bible said in the Old Testament. When he talked about the gods that the people worshiped, he said that they made them from wood and from steel, and they made them from the different stones that they hewed them out of, and they covered them with gold and silver, and they looked good. And to our world today, there's a lot of gods that look good. But there on Mars Hill, they found that these gods, just like what he gave us the description in the Old Testament about them, that they had eyes, but they could not see. And they had ears, but they could not hear. They had mouths, but they could not speak. They had arms and legs, but they could not walk, and they could not move. They was nothing more than dead gods that they had erected statues of and put there for the people to worship. And we're living in a time today when folks would rather serve a god that they can see and touch, just like the Athenians of that time, a god that they can see and touch, and then they would to trust in a god that they cannot see with the naked eye and they can't touch with the natural hand. They would rather worship something like that. And folks, in this world, there are many gods. And I don't want to get long-winded tonight, but if you go back and you research and remember the word of the Lord, every time God's people got in trouble, it was because of the strange gods that they allowed to come in their lives. Go back and look. David got in trouble. Many of the women that he married, they brought their gods with them into his house. Many of the times when the children of Israel were taken into bondage, the ones that overtook them would take out their gods, and they would set up, they would take out the children of Israel's gods, and they would set up their gods and have them to worship them. How many of our forefathers got in trouble because they did not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they fell to the gods of this world? And I said I didn't want to be long-winded tonight, but let's go back even further. When God brought them into the Canaan land, as they was passing through, God gave them a very strict command. He said, don't allow your sons to marry their daughters, nor do you allow your daughters to marry their sons. Because God knew that they would bring all these strange gods into their lives. And folks, we don't have time for any other gods except for the God that we worship tonight. We don't have room. And God will not allow it. Does not the commandments that we have on the wall and the word, when we go back to the book of Exodus, did he not say that God is a jealous God and thou shalt have no other gods before me? God will not share first place. And he certainly won't take second place. If he is to be our God, then we have to make him first in our lives. Paul was preaching, not some strange doctrine. He was preaching the truth. He was preaching about how that Jesus Christ had changed so many lives when he was here. He told them about the many miracles that he had performed. And Paul, everywhere he went, Sunday school classes, did he not start off by telling him what happened to him when he was on the road to Damascus? Everywhere he went. Sometimes I think when people think us preachers get sometimes we get into a rut, if I say it like that, for lack of a better word, to where we're focused and we stay in one chapter maybe too long. I will go back to Christmas, and I know what Jim was talking about. We went over there to the Answer in Genesis Center, and they was talking about how that Mary and Elizabeth, and they was talking about the Word of God and how they was born and how about all the stories, you know, that we hear growing up, and we think they're the truth, but really they're far from the Word of God. Like when the wise men and the shepherds were there at the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jim says, we know that because our pastors preached on it for about the last 5 weeks. See, you got to be careful what you say. You think it just goes over my head, but it does register. But you know, we ought to be proud that we have the true Word of God. Amen. That we don't believe a fable, but we stand rooted and grounded upon what the Word says. Paul told them that this was not some new God, but look here, because his life was in jeopardy. Paul said, I'm not preaching a new doctrine. I'm preaching about this statue that you have over here to this unknown God. I'm preaching about Him. I'm telling you about Him that you might learn that He is not as these other gods. He's not one that needs to be honored with our hands. He's not one that needs to be honored by us coming and praying to all these other gods and then praying to Him. You call Him the unknown God. But can you see Paul in his mind, in his message, saying He might be unknown to you, but I know Him very well. He is known to me, and not only do I know Him, but can anybody else say this tonight? He knows me. He knows me. Paul said, instead of having this unknown God, in fact, he said that I want to just declare Him unto you, that it's this God that you ought to be worshiping, not all these other gods. When we try to worship every God, then we leave somebody out. Anybody ever try to invite everybody to an event? No matter how hard you try, you inadvertently leave somebody out of the list. And then when you find that out, you feel terrible that you forgot to invite somebody. He's saying to them, you can worship all these other gods all you want to, but they will not be able to do for you what this one that you say is unknown. If you would worship Him, the one that I am preaching about, you would find that He is able to do more for you than all these other gods put together. I've not read in the scriptures where it said how many that they had erected monuments or statues unto. Don't know how many that they had built there. But I from the Word, I take it that they had many different ones that was built up. How many of you tonight? And I'll go back to this because in that time, the Greeks, they were superstitious. And that's where we get the zodiac from. And some of you, I don't want to lose you, but I'm preaching you the truth in the house of the Lord. And they would worship all those different ones. I don't even know all the signs that there is. That's how much it means to me. There are folks that read the daily horoscope just to find out what their fortune is going to be that day. Folks, all that is somebody that's put words down in ink to try to make you and I feel better about ourselves. I don't need a horoscope to tell me my future. I've got the book that tells us our future. These folks that worship all these unknown gods, I said this, and I don't say this to be comical tonight, but in days past, you remember that many folks, and they still do it today, that there are folks that go and get their palms read so they can find out what their future holds. That's gods that people worship. There is nothing in your hand that can tell you about your future. Some of you get with me in a minute. There are some that call the lines to try to get insight into their future. And folks, all that is people that's reading off a dialogue. They have a set procedure of how they're supposed to answer their calls. Many of our lives are not that much different. And people can tell you one thing and you think they got the whole answer. And I say this several years ago after Dionne Warwick. You know, she had one of those horoscope lines and one of those future telling lines. I don't even know what the name of it was. But it went bankrupt. And I said this in a message that the Lord laid upon my heart several years ago. If they had insight to see the future, why didn't they see that coming? Why didn't they see that trouble was coming? You know why they didn't see it? Because they can't see any further than the hand in front of their eyes. All our people are doing is wasting their money and time on all these false gods when they could have a relationship with a true God. If only they would come to Him and put away that foolishness. Put away the things of this life that they trust in. Because many of us that are getting up in years now, we have found out that the Scripture, where it says that where your heart is, that's where your treasure is at. We found out how true that is, because you can't count on the government. You can't count on the job. You can't count on society. You can't even count on loved ones. There's only one that you can count on, and His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that really knows what the future is going to hold. In fact, there's things that even He does not know about. And people say, what would there be that Jesus don't know about? Have we not read the Scripture where He says that the coming of the Son of God, that the angels nor even He knows about, only the Father knows. And at the appointed time, God is going to say to His Son, go and destroy all these other gods and get your children and bring them out of that world in which they live in. God's not going to wink at our ignorance. People say, well, I didn't know any better. Goes right with your testimony tonight, Sister Sharon. There's no excuse. If you go down, in fact, in verse 30, I've quoted this already, but He says in verse 30, in the times of this ignorance, times when people worshiped all kinds of different gods. Some folks have got their gods in sports. You can't pry them away from the TV long enough to go to church on Sunday. They're in sports Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all week long. And some of you say, well, don't get too hard on sports because some of our kids and some of our loved ones play. There's nothing wrong with sports, but that should not be your God. There's nothing wrong with recreation. God wants us to have fun and enjoy life at the right time and at the right place. All of these strange gods could do nothing for the people. And every time there was a court that was held there, the court was held at nighttime so it wouldn't disrupt the daily business that had to be conducted. And at nighttime, whenever the two would come, the accuser and the one that was accused would come before the court. Before the hearing started, there was an animal that would be slain. And the two, it was a symbol to them. And the words were given to them, if you do not tell the truth, this is what will happen to you and to your family. Not just you, but you and your family. Does that sound like a Bible story to anybody? Does anybody remember Achan? He not just lost his life, but he lost his whole family. In fact, does not the Scripture say that they even took his animals and they killed them? God is saying this, when you put other gods in your life, you're not just destroying your life, but you're destroying everybody's life around you. And many of our people today are caught up in this. And this is what scares me tonight, church. They're not, moms and dads are not just destroying their lives, but they're destroying the lives of their children as well. And one of the biggest lies that the false gods of this world has is that you don't need to go to church and find God. You've got Him right here. In fact, the doctrine of that day, and it still exists today, is that we are as gods ourselves. Does that not sound like a Bible story? People say, well, that sounds like new doctrine. No, if you go back to the book of Genesis, in the very beginning of time, did not the serpent say unto Eve, the day that you eat of the fruit of that you will become as gods? And many folks are caught up in these strange gods. And no wonder they said that this one was to the unknown God. It's a shame that our world knows everything about everything else and knows so little about our God. I said this, I think it was last Wednesday night in the message. The smarter we get, the dumber we are. The smarter we get, the dumber we are. Because we'll allow anything to come in. And I've listened to many programs. And Sister Jones, sometimes a program will catch our ear and you think, well, that sounds like the truth. But then you listen for just a few more minutes and you'll hear the lies. You'll hear the conspiracies and all the thoughts out of hell that comes along with it. Folks, there's not everywhere that you turn on the TV and a radio set and even every church you go into that's really worshiping this unknown God. Many of them are worshiping gods that are unknown to us. Because has anybody ever been in a service where you thought, what just happened? What just happened? The service took a turn because they started worshiping something that was strange to you. And anything that is strange to us, the Bible says that we ought to mark it and stay away from it. They worshiped the unknown God. How many men and women in that era of time went there and worshiped those unknown gods just so they wouldn't get in trouble? Just so they wouldn't lose their lives. Paul wasn't afraid. You remember what Paul said? To live as Christ, but to die as gain. I like this thought. The Lord, Sister Carlene, gave this thought to me several years ago. Every time Paul preached, you know what? He got up there, and I don't believe that Paul was cocky. I believe that he was very humble. But I believe when he got up there and they said, you know, we can kill you. He said, what are you going to do? Take my life? The best thing you can do is kill me. Because I've got a home in glory land. Did not Jesus say, if a man lose his life for my sake, it shall be given unto him many times over? It'll be given to him. He'll have a better life than the one that he has, that he lost for my name's sake. Paul went there and he didn't preach about all these strange gods. He didn't go there to tell them about all the things that these strange gods had failed in and all the things that they could not hear and could not see and could not do. But he went there instead to tell them, all these gods that you have, the one I'm preaching about is that one, the one that you say is unknown. Let me tell you about that as it goes along with that song that Sharon them sang. That one that doesn't mean much to you. You probably, they didn't spend much time praying and worshiping that unknown God. They spent most of their time with the ones that had the names on it. He don't mean much to you, but he sure means the world to me. Because Paul could tell them, I was like you. I was caught up in religion. In fact, one of the footnotes in my Bible says it like this. They were a bunch of religious folks. Does that sound like anybody else that you know of? They was a bunch of religious folks. But not everybody that is religious has salvation. I would rather have salvation than to have a doctorate in religion. You know why? Because religion will take you to hell. Salvation will take you to heaven. Paul said that you need to worship this God that made all of the world. He made the heavens. He made you and I. And he made everything that we see. He's the one that you ought to be worshiping. He's the one that you ought to be praying to. And he's the one that you ought to be counting on, because all these other gods can do nothing. It almost sounds like the message that the prophet of old told them in his household. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can make that choice. Our people, God made us a free moral agent to choose whom we would take as our God. My God is not my career. My God is not my job. My God is not the car or the house. It's not even this world. The Bible says that there's pleasure in this world for a season. And you say, it don't say in this world, it says in sin. This world is sin. For a season. But the end of it is destruction. It's death and annihilation from God. Forever separated from Him. But yet you won't be to where you won't be able to see Him. Because you'll still be able to see what's going on over in glory land. Bible says it like this, and people say, I don't know if they can do that or not, Roger. Did not the Bible say when the rich man died that he looked off afar and he saw Abraham, or he saw Lazarus in Father Abraham's bosom? But he said, I can't go there because there's a great gulf fixed between us two. One of the greatest torments of being in hell is this, knowing that you didn't have to go there. That you could have escaped that awful place had you not put everything on these unknown gods. To these known gods and rejected the unknown God. Our people today are caught up in everything. The hype now is that the new president, whoever it might be, is going to fix all the problems. The new Congress, the new Senate, all these folks is going to fix what's wrong with America. Folks, until we get rid of these strange gods and we get back to the known God of our forefathers and start to worship Him, our country is not going to get better. Our homes are not going to get better. Our lives are not going to get better. It's going to take us getting back to God in order for us to get things right in our own houses. And before we can get our country right, we've got to get our homes right. Get our homes right. Let me preach for a few minutes of time. We've never lived in a time where there's single parents raising kids like the numbers we have today. It's not the kids' fault. And I'm going to stand on that, Larry Jones. Because mom and dad, when I and Becky had our children, we have an obligation to raise those kids. Now, and I'm not throwing stones tonight. I've got one in my own house that's not with his kids. But folks, it scares me to death to think what's going to happen to the future of those kids, because they will fall for all these gods that the world has instead of going with the God that we serve. When somebody else raises your kids, you have very little control over the things that's introduced to them. This is a lot of preaching in a short time. We cannot allow somebody else to make our choices. We have to make our choices for ourselves. I choose to serve God. I choose to live my life as best as I can for Him and for His kingdom, because I know that this life is very short. In just a few more days, it's all going to be over with. Many of us are going to be gone because time is going to be called and we're going to have to leave here. But I do not have to leave here trusting in some statue. And I'm going to meddle tonight. My hope is not in a string of beads around my rearview mirror. My hope is not in somebody saying a prayer over me after I'm gone to get my soul into heaven. My hope is this tonight, that I remember the day that I was lost, and this known God to me, at that time He was unknown, but does anybody else remember when the unknown God come by your house and made Himself known unto you? I had a revelation. I had an introduction to a man that I did not know existed. I doubted, if I could just be honest with you tonight. I doubted if, in fact, I'll just share the thought that went through my head when I was under conviction. I remember sitting back there in the back of the church and I thought, Brother Bill, how does mom and dad and all these people not know that this is not a hoax? Somebody gets up and gives them a few words and they all get excited and they act like it's the best thing ever happened to them. But some of you may have had those same thoughts, but the night that I got the introduction, I realized this is not a hoax. This is the real God, because He spoke to me. And does anybody else remember the scripture? And I'm trying to find a hushing place. But does anybody else remember the scriptures when they said, do you remember the two disciples that was on the road to Emmaus, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us when He spoke to us? Do you remember the scripture when it said, after the Lord had spoke to them, they said, never man spake like this. Never a man. And when He spoke to us, we realized He is not a dead God, but He is a living God. You can pray to these statues all you want to, but those statues will not do anything for you. Let me go back to the scripture. You remember when they had the Ark of the Covenant and they put it there in the temple of Dagon? Some of y'all remember that. They came in there the first day and he was down, face down, and they set him back up. Went in there the next day and I might have the sequence out of order, but they went in there and did they fix him once or did they fix him twice? Fixed him twice, and then the third day when they went in there, he was broke into pieces. Folks, even the false gods cannot stand in the presence of a living God. And I said they got his name right. And I don't say this to be comical. But I remember when I first read his name, I thought it was doggone. or Dagon. Because you know what? He was dead. He wasn't alive. But you remember when they thought that they had done away with this unknown God that they had there. You remember that they thought that they would come there on that third day and He would still be dead and in His tomb. But the greatest thing that our God did that none of the other gods has ever done. All the other gods, when they died, they was buried and they remain there until this day. Unless somebody has moved their remains. But our God is the only one that when they came there on the third day after, they said, did not this man say, you destroy this temple in 3 days, we'll raise it up. Let's put some guards around about it to make sure nothing happens. But when they came there, the guards became as dead men. And Jesus came out of the tomb, resurrected by His own power. Because He's not a dead God, He's a living God. And folks, He's not an unknown God. But in our world today, I believe that He is the lesser God in most people's eyes. When they've tried every other God and failed, then they go to our God. I challenge our people today, instead of going to Him last, why don't you go to Him first? And you'll save yourself a lot of trouble and time if they would just go to Him first. The hype today in all these strange gods that this world has. Money has always been a god. It's always. Fame and fortune has always been a god. Entertainment is the number one god that is destroying our country. And I say that I have no facts other than what the Word of God says and what's laid upon my heart. Because people want to be entertained more than they want to feel the presence of God. Sister Carlene, I said this in years gone by. Many years ago. People that want to be entertained, they ought to go to the house of the Lord and let the Spirit of God get hold of them. You talking about being entertained. That'll excite you. That'll lift you up. That'll give you strength. That'll give you all things that you stand in need of. So many of our people today, tonight is a big night. So many folks are there glued to all the playoffs that's taking place in the college sports and all that. And folks, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that, but don't make it your God. I used to be a fanatic about sports. If my team was on, I was glued to the set while they was on. You know how many ball games I've watched in recent years? From start to finish? And people say, well, what happened to you? What happened is my heart got moved in a different direction. Because you know what I found out? Whether I root for them or I don't root for them, one team's going to win and one's going to lose. And there's no sense of me getting frustrated that sometimes it's not my team. There's bigger things in life that cause frustrations to have to get caught up in that stuff. Some of you say, now, Roger, you're preaching your beliefs. How many of you used to be glued to things and God took away your desires? The closer we get to God, the less we will want anything to do with this world. Because you see, this world has done nothing for me. But God has done all things. He's not an unknown God. He was known by my mother. He was known by my grandmother, my grandfather. He was known by my dad and his dad. He was known by the patriarchs of old. He's known by many of you. Many of your parents and grandparents knew of this man. And you know what they did? They made him their God. Some of us tonight have made him our God. And Paul preached to them and told them, this unknown God is the one that you ought to be worshiping. Not all these others. In fact, if I can just take this message to a close with this, Paul pretty much told them, all these other gods you could do without. But this one over here, you better keep this one. And change that name if you would. Because he's not unknown. Can I preach it like this? We would say it like this today. I talked to him this morning. I know who he is. And I'd like to introduce you to him and take some time to tell you about all that he did just for you. And Paul said, there's no more of this foolishness. It's time that you make a choice with your life. It's time that we make a choice with our lives. It's time that our country made a choice. We're either going to make him our God, or he will not be found with us. And the worst state that anybody could be in is in a place without God in their life. So many of our people are dying and going to hell, trusting in all these other gods and staying away from the God that wants to help them. The God that wants to help them. God, some folks, and I'm trying to find a hushy place tonight, but some folks view God as this mean old man sitting on a throne and saying, you must do this. When he's not that at all. He's a righteous God. And he says, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me and you'll find rest for your souls. Come unto me and you'll find life everlasting in heaven above. But he doesn't make you choose him. And many of our people are making the wrong choices. Tonight I've seen many lives that have made the wrong choices. Some of us have made wrong choices in our lifetime. Amen? And you know what? When you're making those choices, you cannot see how far off course you are. But there's other people that saw your life. And they saw the bad things, the choices you was making. But you know what? You wouldn't listen to them. You wouldn't listen to them at all. And I'm going to close with this example just to make my point. You remember when the rich man was there. When he found out there was no hope for him to get out of that awful place, he's prayed and he said, well, would you send Lazarus back to my five brethren to warn them not to come to this awful place? But what was the word that came back to him? They have the prophets, right? If they will not believe them, they will not believe one, though he rose from the dead. And that's where we're at today. So many of our people are so full of religion, only to drive them further away from salvation. Religion is not what takes you to heaven. Religion is what gets in the mind, Brother Ivan, and it confuses our people because religion tells them, in our world today, religion is telling our people that if you don't feel like it's wrong, then it can't be wrong. Is this not what's being preached in mainstream America? If it does not feel wrong to you, then it cannot be wrong. You know what the Bible says? It doesn't matter what it feels like. If God says it's wrong, it is still wrong. And we better move up to the Word of God, because it's not what you think that matters when we come to the end of life. It's what thus saith the Word of God. Because he said it like this, as Robin Sharon gave us a song of invitation, Brother Larry. He said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word is eternity. What God said in the beginning, God still says today, and he will still say it in eternity future. God does not change over the course of time. Sister Tara, I remember that many folks over the years, because it was accepted in the general populace, that they come into the church and say, why haven't we changed? If we bring the world into the church, we don't have church. We just have a form of godliness. Many folks that want to bring all these other gods into God's house and worship them. God said that we ought to worship the true and living God. Paul said, you Athenians, instead of having all this, you know, Paul probably in his mind, and this is just Roger's thoughts, probably looked around him and said, these folks are crazy. Look at all these different gods that they worship, that they pray to, and that they sit here in court and they asked them to view the hearings. But you know, when it came down to them to pronounce the verdict of these court proceedings, not a one of those gods spoke out and said guilty or innocent. You know why? Because they couldn't. But has anybody heard from the living God today? This unknown God? You know why? Because He's alive and well. And He will forever be alive and well. While hell is burning with a fervent heat, God will still be alive and sitting on His throne. Did not John the Revelator see Him there? High and lifted up, as Isaiah is what he saw. Folks, He's alive today. And He is a known God to those that believe upon Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is a known God. While we stand and sing a verse of a song tonight, you say, well, we're all saved. But it ought to break our hearts, as Sister Sharon said, that so many of our people, like the Athenians, are caught up in all these false gods, have all these temples erected, have their lives wrapped around the false gods of this world. When we have a known God that we can go to, a known God that we can worship, a God that can see where you're at tonight, a God that can speak to your heart and mind, a God who has hands that can touch our lives. He's a living God. Yes, my soul. Moms and dads, it ought to break our hearts. To see all the religion that our people have and have not salvation. Let me tell you the way our people see it today, and then I'll close. Becky was talking to one of our family members about their lives and about their children and how that they was raised different and now their kids are being raised just any which way. And you know what the typical response that comes back is? They're good kids. They're good kids. They'll be all right. There's not one good person, not one of us that's good enough to make it into heaven without the Lord in our lives. There's not a one of us, no matter how good they are. In fact, the writer said it like this, that all of our goodness, if I can paraphrase, all of our goodness is like filthy rags before the Lord. There's none of us that's good. No, not one. None. If being good was good enough, then Jesus died in vain. Jesus died in vain. And I'm sure that there was a lot of good people that when they closed their eyes, that hell was their eternal home. But being good isn't good enough, Brother Jim. It takes knowing this known God in your life and in mine as well. Tonight I pray you got something from the Word. That we will not be like the Athenians. We will not be. Our country's already there. I don't know if you realize this or not. But you know, we allow anybody and everybody to bring their gods into this country. No matter how strange of a god it might be, they're allowed to bring them in here. And we're not allowed to speak the name of God in our public places, in your workplaces. We're not allowed to speak His name, but every other God's name. And moms and dads, I'm on metal for a minute. Your kids and my kids and grandkids are learning about every other God. It's lawful for them to teach about them the other gods in school, but they're not allowed to teach about Jehovah. Now, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And anybody that thinks a horoscope is going to tell them about their future, the devil's got their minds wrapped around that. Because if he'll get you to believe that little bit of a lie, he'll keep you away from the truth. Tonight, I'm done meddling. There's more. There's more that goes with this. But folks, God knows that our country, our homes, needs a wake-up call. You know, in years past, I preached a message here, and it's probably been 10 years ago or longer. Some of you remember it just by the text. The text for that message was, "When God sets your fields on fire." You know what He did? He said that and I have to go back and even study to remember the names. But David's servant set his fields, his friend's fields on fire to get his attention to what he was doing wrong. "Why are you burning up my fields? That's my income. That's where I'm going to feed my family and feed my animals." And you know what? Sometimes, has anybody ever had God to set your fields on fire? To get your attention? I can tell you the crops I lost. People say, there's more than one. And before you cast too many stones, we've all been away from the Lord. And God would move to get our attention to bring us back. I'm glad I serve a God that loves me enough to bring us down so that we can exalt us in due time. God bless you. I pray you got something from the Word. I was going to say this earlier, and I want to make sure I do say it tonight before you leave. Be careful when you go out because the temperature has dropped. There may be ice back on the steps and on the parking lot. I know that it got salted, and I appreciate the guy that did the salting of the parking lot and Brother Jim for coming up here Saturday and salting the steps. But with the temperature dropping, it might be back to ice. And I don't want any of you taking a fall. The worst thing we could do is for somebody to get hurt out there. So if you need to, get somebody to walk out with you, get a hand, and help somebody make it to the car or truck safely. And be careful on the highways because a lot of those puddles you see will be ice. So be careful on the highways. Remember our service on Wednesday night. Remember those that are sick and shut in. Let's go praying and come back praying, expecting great things to happen when we come to the house of the Lord. God bless you. Great seeing each and every one of you tonight. May God bless you with a great week.